Next week, this show will be live next week from Mobile, Alabama, the site of the Senior Bowl. It's our second consecutive year doing shows there. Joining us live on the line, the man who is now into his second year as executive director of the Senior Bowl. He was formerly director of college scouting and director of player personnel with the Baltimore Ravens. Spent 4 years as general manager of the Cleveland Browns. He is live on the line with us right now from the site of the Senior Bowl, Mobile, Alabama, Phil Savage. Phil, thank you very much for spending the time with us tonight. We really appreciate it.
Well, good evening, John. Hope you're doing well. We look forward to having you down at what is now known as the Reese's Senior Bowl.
That's right. I figured you're going to drop in Reese's. That's okay. Next week we'll do that, too, when we're down there. It'll be the Reese's Senior Bowl, as in Reese's Pieces. I got to tell you, Phil, I really enjoyed our week down there last week, and that was my first year. But it just really, from more than anything else, it helped me turn the page from one season to the next. I find that coming 3-4 weeks after the Bills season ends, it's exactly what you need to turn the page from one year to the next.
Well, for 30 of the 32 teams, there's no question it's a chance to push the reset button and start over with a new year. And that's one of the great things about football is you always get another opportunity. We'll have some new coaches, some new general managers in play, but then we'll also have some teams and coaches that did not do as well. They're looking for some redemption, and they get a chance to get all that started in Mobile.
Hey, Phil, this is, as we said, you're wrapping up now. In May, it'll be your second year as executive director. One of the things, you said it on our show a year ago, and I've read you quoted a couple times, how you talk about the Senior Bowl as almost the 33rd NFL franchise. Can you talk about that and what your idea is there?
Yeah, you know, when I got the job in really June of 2012, I just felt like that this was an opportunity for the Senior Bowl to really align ourselves with the other 32 teams in the NFL in terms of trying to evaluate the players and get on the same kind of calendar. In other words, take the summer, build our lists out, generate some interest in our game during July and August, and then basically go out and evaluate the players ourselves. Typically, I've been to probably between 20 and 25 schools each of the last two falls, a number of live games. Of course, I do the color for Alabama, so that puts me in a stadium, usually within the SEC on a weekend basis. But, and then ultimately try to find the best 100 players to bring to Mobile and give them a chance to showcase their skills. So that's what we've tried to do, and it's fun to put two rosters together for essentially one game.
Well, it's got to be an extension of almost what you did when you were working in the NFL with the Ravens and the Browns and even with the Eagles, right?
In a lot of ways, it is very similar. I am not in a position where I'm trying to go really nitpick or pick players apart, and I think that's one of the things that's a little bit different from the Senior Bowl versus working for a club is that, you know, when you're working for a club, in some ways you're trying to find the flaws on the player. And when you're at the Senior Bowl, you're really trying to advocate that player for the NFL. We do do some background checks, not to the degree that an NFL scout would do in terms of going to hire somebody for a four-year contract, but certainly for a week in Mobile, we really try to combine two aspects. We try to build out the rosters with college all-stars, but also those all-stars that have the potential to go play in the National Football League.
Phil, and let's talk about the week. It is a week-long event in Mobile, Alabama. You're a homegrown native of Mobile, Alabama. It's a big deal in that lovely city, isn't it? I mean, the Senior Bowl really is a pretty big deal to Mobile.
Well, it's the 65th annual game this year, and if you look at some of the other All-Star games that are out there, they really struggle to draw a crowd, to sell tickets and fill their stadiums, and there's a lot of pride, not only in Mobile, but along the Gulf Coast, in terms of being the host of the Senior Bowl game. You know, last year we did not really have a marquee Alabama or Auburn player, but yet we drew 38,000 fans into our, you know, 39,000-seat stadium. So typically if we can have some players from Alabama and Auburn, that really moves the needle with our local fans, but I would say that the support we get from our community, you know, you mentioned Reese's a moment ago as the title sponsor, but we have over 100 companies and businesses that are involved with us at some financial level. It could be from $1,000, it could be up to $100,000, but nevertheless, 100 companies in our region support the game, and it makes it a lot easier to manage when you have that kind of financial support.
Live on the line with the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl, Phil Savage. We'll be down there at the Senior Bowl next week in Mobile, Alabama. Phil, when you extend invitations to seniors coming out of college, do you call on some of your NFL contacts and get their opinions? Do people even suggest to you, hey, I'd like to see this guy with a week's worth of practice and NFL coaches? Does that go on as you lead into the game?
Well, John, what we try to do is we don't extend any invitations until the players have gotten at least 6 or 8 games under their belt. So we don't extend any until after November the 1st. And I would say that through my travels to the various colleges and then seeing a lot of the college scouts at the Alabama games, and then just through sheer phone conversations over the telephone, we definitely try to vet every single player. I want to get across check or a cross-reference with at least 2 or 3 sources in the league to make sure that we're picking the very best players and that they are players that the NFL organizations want to see.
One of the things that struck me, and I guess it was had to be pointed out to me last week, is the difference when NFL coaches get to work with your guys, your selected players at the Senior Bowl, and other NFL coaches like to see NFL coaches handle these players, right?
Well, it's one of the real benefits of our game is the fact that we do have two real-life NFL scout coaching staffs working the game. And this year, I think we're really fortunate. We have Mike Smith and the Atlanta Falcons, along with Gus Bradley and the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I think these are two head coaches that have really embraced the idea of coming into Mobile and getting their hands literally on 110 players, working with them, not only on the field, but in the classroom. And I definitely think that the league benefits the other 30 teams in terms of seeing those players be put through NFL-type drills in the pre-practice and the warm-up. And then, of course, you know, the schemes are not overly complicated, but they're still applied in an NFL sort of way. And I think that, you know, coaches talk. And obviously, after the Jags and Falcons get to spend a week with these players, they'll talk to some of their friends around the league and say, yes, such and such was excellent with us, or, you know, not so much. You know, he struggled to learn the difference between cover 2 and quarters coverage or whatever it is that they might be putting in.
And I think NFL fans would be interested to learn, Phil, that at night after the practices are over, NFL teams, scouts, or who's ever there, they get a chance to have individual sit-down meetings with players just like they do at the Combine in February, right?
Yes, sir, and that was one of the real frustrations I had in my 20 years in the NFL. I didn't think that the interviews were very productive at the Senior Bowl and really all the All-Star games because there was never really any structure to it. You just had to grab a player when you could. There was really no formal place to sit down and talk, and we changed all of that a year ago. We can now guarantee that all 100-plus players will have the opportunity to be visited with all 32 teams. We have a structured format from Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night. All 32 clubs get access to all 100-plus players over the course of those 3 nights. And we break them up into 3 different groups. And the 2 groups that are not involved with the structured interview are made available to any other coaches or scouts or NFL personnel that want to talk to them in another designated area in a more informal way, where there's not really a time limit. So we've tried to bring a degree of the Combine organization to it. It's not quite as structured as that, but it definitely gives the players and the coaches access to each other, and I think that's really important.
We're live on the line with Phil Savage, executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl, where we will be next week in Mobile, Alabama. And one more question about the process, Phil, and that goes to the invitations. All the players invited do not accept. For what reason would players not accept an invitation to the Senior Bowl?
Well, sometimes a player is rated extremely high, and once the players commit to an agent, you know, that agent will call around and gauge what value is being placed on his player. And oftentimes, if a player has, you know, consensus top 10, top 15 rankings across the board, their focus really turns toward the combine in terms of solidifying their draft status with the 40-yard dash time, with the testing that takes place in Indianapolis. We've run into that some on occasion last year and this year. But by and large, I think the seniors that elect to stay and play 4 years of college football, I think they see the value in the Senior Bowl. The thing that I really noticed last year, John, was the fact that our 100-plus players that attended, they really got a chance to see what this process was all about. They got a chance to get hit with the question that the teams were going to be asking them the most at the combine. And when they showed up in Indianapolis, I thought that they handled that situation much better than those who are just showing up for the first time and being integrated into this pre-draft evaluation, which is very strenuous. It's very stressful. And I thought the players that were in Mobile last year handled it, you know, really in a first-class manner a year ago.
I feel Buffalo fans will be interested to find out the fate of University at Buffalo linebacker Khalil Mack, who was extended an invitation. At last report, he had not accepted the invitation. Do you expect to see him next week?
You know, we don't. I've already spoken to his representation a week or two ago, and he's one of those players that is considered to be at least in the top half of the first round. Feels like he's done enough on tape and through his college career that he really doesn't want to take the chance of maybe being injured or sacrificing a week of getting ready for the combine. So he's going to bypass on the game. I think it's more of an agent decision in this situation, maybe more so than the player, because Khalil's very competitive, and we certainly were hopeful that he would accept the invite and come down and participate in the week, because it really goes even beyond your draft status and the interviews and those sorts of things. It's a great week to meet a lot of people in the NFL, to do some community service. We visit the local children's hospitals. We have the players visit the local elementary schools, and that really made an impact on our community last year, and I think the players enjoyed it. And plus, they get a chance to meet some of the guys that they've seen on television across the country, and in the future will be teammates of in the NFL.
We were talking here at work about how a guy like Khalil Mack from, you know, a non, you know, power conference like the Mid-American Conference, you would think that guys like that would really benefit from a Senior Bowl. I mean, Eric Fisher last year comes out of the Mack and goes to be the first overall pick. Don't the guys from the, you know, the non-power conferences, the non-BCS conferences stand to gain the most in a Senior Bowl setting?
Oh, I definitely agree with you on that in terms of getting them on the same stage and the same drills going against top flight competition. There's no question that small school players can really help themselves. And last year, Eric Fisher was the prime example. He came into our week probably rated somewhere from 10 to 20 in the first round. And ultimately, based off his work in Mobile and then what he was able to do at the combine and the rest of the pre-draft evaluation period, he moved all the way up to number one. So there were a number of examples last year of smaller school players. Robert Alford from southeastern Louisiana ended up going in the second round of the Atlanta Falcons, and there were others. And I'm excited about our small school prospects this year. There are a number of players that I think will do a great job next week and really benefit themselves from having participated in the recent Senior Bowl.
Last year, Phil, when we were down there, we were all about the quarterbacks, probably not so much this year from a Buffalo Bills standpoint, but you've got some interesting quarterbacks there, Tyge Boyd from Clemson and Derek Carr from Fresno State. Talk about those two and some of the other quarterback prospects that people might see in the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, Derek Carr, in some ways, somewhat reminiscent of E.J. Manuel in terms of his approach so far. He was the first quarterback that committed way back in early November. Have had several communications with him. He's extremely excited about the opportunity, much like E.J. Manuel was a year ago. Now, I think Derek Carr comes into the Senior Bowl rated higher than where E.J. was at this same point. But we're excited about him. He's got a very good delivery, smooth release, got a strong arm, and I think the question on him is, can he transition from what was a spread offense in the shotgun to more of a conventional style NFL system? You mentioned Tyge Boyd. Of course, he's well known across the country. I think this is going to be a chance for him to move from the Clemson spread into an NFL type of system. And he'll be working with the North team, actually, with the Atlanta Falcons. So it should be a good week of work for him. A couple of other quarterbacks that should be mentioned, David Fales from San Jose State. I think he's the quarterback who really is going to emerge this next week. I think he's going to impress people with his classroom approach and his attitude off the field. And I think he's going to be able to show enough on the field to really move up the rating. A couple of other quarterbacks, Logan Thomas from Virginia Tech. I think this is a make-or-break week for him. I think some scouts are intrigued with his potential, but I think there are other scouts out there that don't think he really has a future in the NFL at quarterback. So this is a huge week for him. And then Stephen Morris from the University of Miami was plagued by a bad ankle all year. I saw him at the Manning Academy back in July, and he won the throwing competition. He's got a lot of skill, and we'll see if he can translate that to the actual practice field and in the game on Saturday. And then I should mention that our last spot is being held for A.J. McCarron from Alabama. He's a native of Mobile, and we should find out from him in the next 24 hours whether he is going to participate with us or not next week.
He could sell some tickets for you down there for the game.
Well, he could definitely sell some tickets for us, but, you know, from a draft standpoint, I think that this would be a really important week for him because, you know, he's probably solidly in the second or third round, and we saw what happened with E.J. Manuel last year, moving from that level up into the mid-first round. So I think A.J. McCarron and Derek Carr are really fighting it out to see who the fourth quarterback is going to be after this junior group of Teddy Bridgewater, Johnny Manziel, and Blake Bortles, who seem to be the three highest-rated quarterbacks, at least at this step in the process.
Hey, tell me about receivers, Phil. What receivers have caught your eye already in this group coming to the Senior Bowl next week?
Well, Jordan Matthews from Vanderbilt is the SEC's all-time leading receiver, 262 career receptions. He reached out to me a few days ago and wanted to know who the cornerbacks were going to be in the game and did we have any video or tape on them. He'd like to see it in preparation for the game. So I think he's going to be a real pro. I would venture to guess that he's probably a second or third round type receiver, but he's going to be a very good complementary piece to a number one receiver opposite of him. Very anxious to see Ryan Grant from Tulane. Had a terrific year with the Green Wave, helped get them to a bowl game. A couple of other receivers that I would that jump to mind: Jared Aberderis from Wisconsin, had a very good senior year at Wisconsin. Had a big night against Bradley Roby, the junior corner who declared from Ohio State, had 10 catches that night. And then an interesting twist, Kane Coulter is a quarterback from Northwestern, has dabbled as a receiver with the Wildcats. He'll make the full-time transition to wide receiver. And I think he's got a little better chance of doing it than maybe Denard Robinson did a year ago, who ultimately was drafted by the Jaguars and ended up as primarily a running back with Jacksonville this past year.
Yeah, that was interesting last year to watch Denard Robinson sort of, I guess, struggle to play receiver, and he made it. I mean, I give him credit. We saw him at the end of the year with the Bills. By the end of the year, he was a pretty valuable weapon in whatever he did for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, there was no question. You know, he had that wrist injury from a year ago that really impacted his ability to catch during Senior Bowl week, but I think he got a lot of credit for showing up and competing and going through every practice and then playing in the game. He was willing to put it out there that he wanted to play receiver, and he was willing to be a return man as well. So Denard did a terrific job in terms of following through with his commitment. And, you know, ultimately he was a fifth rounder with Jacksonville. I think they have some plans for him as what they're calling an offensive weapon, a new position in football. Yeah.
One more group, and I don't want to keep you too long, but two linebackers that I'm really eager to see. One of them, Chris Borland from Wisconsin. The other, you know, I'm sure a lot about, C.J. Mosley. Tell me about those two and what you expect to see from them next week.
Yeah, Chris Borland is a player that really had a lot of buzz going for him during the season within the NFL scouting community. Of course, he was the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. He's a bit undersized in terms of height, but he is an overachiever when it comes to production, a really good player at inside linebacker. And then you mentioned C.J. Mosley, again, another Alabama player from the Mobile area. So we're very hopeful that he will follow through with his commitment to us at this point. He's rated very high, probably at least in the top 20 if not perhaps in the top 15. But a four-down linebacker can defend the run, play the pass, played on special teams his entire career in Tuscaloosa. He's really one of those can't-miss types of prospects.
Phil, last year, three of the first five draft picks in the NFL draft were Senior Bowl products, 10 first-round picks, including the Bills' E.J. Manuel. There were some who wondered if E.J. belonged there in the first round when the Bills selected him last April. Based on what you saw at the Senior Bowl, and you saw E.J. be the most valuable player of the Senior Bowl game itself, what did you think of that pick, and what did you think of E.J. after his first year in the league?
Yeah, I think E.J. Manuel is one of those intriguing prospects, 6'5", 235 pounds. I think he really is devoted to wanting to become a franchise quarterback. Of course, this year he had the knee injury against the Browns, and that seemed to derail some of his development. But I think overall he's the kind of player from an attitude standpoint and even a size and skill standpoint that you want to try to develop. And you know, the Bills were talking about taking a quarterback in the top 10, and I want to say that they slid back and ultimately took E.J. there. They were being rumored that they were very interested in Ryan Nassib, who ended up not going until the fourth round. But, you know, I think E.J. is the kind of player that you want to work with. He's willing and able to be the face of the franchise because of his maturity and the way he handles himself. And I'm anxious to see what he does this offseason in terms of his development going into year two.
Phil, just talking to you tonight. We've already put last season behind us here. I can't wait to get to Mobile next week. Thank you very much for being on the air with us tonight.
John, really appreciate it. Look forward to having you down, and thank you so much for your support of our game. And we look forward to seeing you along the Gulf Coast next week.
We'll be there. Phil Savage, Executive Director of the Reese's Senior Bowl, will be there broadcasting live next week, two nights next week with podcast work on the hockey nights next week. The Senior Bowl, looking forward to heading down there next week.